Grace and peace be unto you, brothers and sisters. It is good for us to be alive, alert and active, for the Lord has blessed us beyond our prayers and beyond our ability to enumerate. And certainly it is a joy to be in the house of the Lord once again. There are many other places we could have been, but the Lord deemed it necessary for us to be in this place doing what we are doing. And certainly we are blessed to be here to receive of the Lord his bread and his water. It is a joy to see you, those of you who are here in person. And certainly we do thank God for those of you who are watching virtually. Bible intake is such of importance, and we want to encourage you to do it the more. We are in trying times, and certainly our faith is developed and increased by way of intaking the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ask that you be in prayer for those who are on our prayer list, in the persons of Treasure Caffey, Sister Belinda Hall, Sister Joanne Logan, Sister Barbara Moulton, Miss Layla Drake, Brother Carlo Hayes, Sister Erlene Bryant, Brother Joseph Grimes, Sister Louise Blackman, Brother Dexter Law, Sister Bobby Green, Reverend Edward May, Reverend Jesse Van Sr., Sister Donna Mitchell, Sister Louise Broom, Brother Tommy Bland, Sister Gloria Moman, Brother Jack Blanks, Brother Samuel Barnes, Sister Stacy Walton, Brother Robert Dowley, Sister Mertis Cook, Brother Clarence Hutchins, Sister Queen Rush, Brother Charles Steele, and then those who are bereaved among us are Sister Taylor, Valerie Taylor, Sister Elizabeth Washington, Sister Vicki Jones. Hospitalized, Miss Virginia McCormick, Sister Classy Evans, and I think Mother Catherine Strait is at home, but I'm not for sure, but she's on the hospital list. Please bear those persons in mind and pray for them. Thank you for coming in a little earlier today to pray, for the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. We came in from 5:30 to 6 to pray, and certainly I feel your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. Praying is a part of what God has ordered us to do. Thank God for all of you again. We thank God for your presence. Listen, a few announcements. On Sunday, we will have our first young adult college fellowship at the church, and you can wear your college paraphernalia, whatever college or university you matriculated at, you can wear that Sunday. And then also we'll have the preaching bowl. Preachers will be preaching at 8 and at 10:30, like they did on last time we had the preaching bowl, last fifth Sunday. I do ask that you come out to support our young people and our associates. I wanted to give them the same opportunity and the same crowds that I preach to, so that they can preach to. And it's just something about support. Amen. And make you do it a little better. So I ask that you come out and support them on Sunday. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse the Gospel of Matthew's chapter 13. Verses 51 and 52. If you have it, say amen. If you're still looking for it, say wait. All right. Jesus said unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then said he unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy word. I want to talk about the householder's treasure. The householder's treasure. Parables are taught to give understanding to the hearers concerning the kingdom of heaven. Verses 51 and 52 concern how the disciples of Christ should respond to the teaching about the kingdom. No teacher teach just to teach. Teachers teach because they are looking for results. We don't teach just teaching anything or any word, but teaching is aimingly done, purposefully done to produce. The model set before us is that of Jesus, and he spent time teaching his disciples because he wanted to mature them so that he could hand over to them the ministry of the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 4 said, "We teach to mature so you don't be so easily swayed." We teach looking for results. Jesus asked his disciples after he had taught them seven parables, and I don't consider this a parable. Some scholars say that this is the eighth parable, but this particular passage is not like those that have gone on before us, in that Jesus did not say "like unto." He did not put two things beside each other, unfamiliarly related, just to relay a message. Here he just explains and give way to detail as to what should be their response after hearing his message concerning the kingdom. Do you understand? As a boy, I can remember after hearing preaching right before the benediction was given, pastor would stand up and say, "All hearts and minds clear." That's really what Jesus is saying here. Do you have understanding? Are you clear in what I shared with you? Notice, understanding is very important. Understanding the teachings of Jesus Christ is not predicated on man's wisdom or skill of understanding. You can be smart and scholarly in the world, ignorant and dumb in the things of God. Because you understand secular books doesn't mean you understand the Word of God. Because unlike secular books, the Word of God was written or penned by men who was inspired of God. It is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration. You don't have to be inspired to understand Aristotle or Socrates. You don't have to be inspired to understand some of the writings of great authors today, but to understand the Word of God, you must be inspired. He says, this that I have shared with you cannot be understood by your wisdom or your skill of understanding. Understanding, according to Jesus, is not just a matter of cognitive grasp, but is a matter of believing in the heart. That understanding is a submission of one's will to the ways of the kingdom, to the will of the king. The kingdom of heaven refers to the realm, spiritual realm, over which Jesus reigns as king. And if he's not king of your life, he does not give you the keys to unlock the kingdom. He said that in the word. He says, I give unto you keys. That's if he's your king. For the kingdom is the activity of the king exercising his sovereign power. In other words, to understand the kingdom of heaven, it requires a relationship within he reigns as king. Last week we talked about how he hides this truth from those who will abuse it. Those who will abuse the kingdom principles are those who have not submitted themselves to his lordship. So to understand the kingdom, you have to submit yourself. You have to give yourself to him in relationship wherein he reigns as king. In other words, you have to give control of your life over to him. Y'all quiet. You have to give complete control of your life over to him. Write this down. If Jesus is not on the throne of your life, you have him on the cross of your life. If he's not on the throne in your life, or on the throne of your life, you have him on the cross. But if he's on the throne, you on the cross. And mess you up. I know you're saying, what you mean cross? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone. Jesus even said, if you will come after me, you must what? Take up your cross. After denying yourself, you must take up your cross and follow him. If he's not on the throne in your life, that means that you still have him on the cross in your life. But if he's on the throne, you on the cross. That's what it means to give yourself to him. To understand the kingdom. It means to submit, to surrender yourself over to him, and he takes charge of your life. You ever thought or questioned the reason why your life at times are in shambles? And your life is seemingly falling apart? It's because you in charge. See, what God will do is he will step back and let you grapple and wrestle with it all the time you want to. Because if he doesn't let situations and circumstances break you, you will be constantly ramming and butting up against God, jockeying for the reins of your life and the control of your life. But when you enter into the kingdom of heaven, you come with your hands up, which is a posture of total surrender. With this posture, you are totally helpless to defend yourself. All you can do is yield to the authority. Most of us don't have our hands up. We have our hands on our peace or in our pockets. Because we don't want to totally surrender. That's why it's hard for us to understand the kingdom of God. Jesus asked his disciples, he says, "Do you understand?" Now, the word translated "understood" means to put things together, to join facts or ideas into a comprehensive lock and hole. Simply understood means to get the big picture by connecting the dots. The other day we were in the restaurant, myself and wife and little Trinity, and they would always hand her kids' menu. And on the back side of the kids menu, you see dots with numbers that you just can't connect the dots any old kind of way, kind of like some of us want to do. But you have to go from 1 to 2, 3 and 4, and you have to go in order to see the picture. What Jesus is saying is, I have set before you 7 parables of the kingdom of heaven. Have you connected the dots to see the picture? Think about Sunday after Sunday, we hear the word of God, and some dots are on our papers and some dots are not, because we are not committed to constantly hearing the word of God. So therefore, we have an obscure and flawed picture because we don't have all of the dots necessary to connect the dots to see the picture. He says, "Do you see the picture? Have you connected the dots of these things together so you can comprehend them? Do you know how to live and function in the authority of Jesus Christ?" He says, "I just laid it out for you. And the picture shows you how to live your life under the authority of Jesus Christ to live and function." We have so many dysfunctional people in the body of Christ. People who live outside of his authority. People who reject his authority. That's what he just revealed to them. His authority. He presented himself as king to them, and he says, "This is what you are to expect." Even with the first, he talked about the soil.
And I don't want to rehash all of them, but the first he talked about the soil. And he says, I pray and hope that you are good soil so that the word of God can come into your life and produce a bountiful harvest, so that your life will be fruitful. And when God sees the productivity of your life, he will prune and he will fertilize you to bring forth even more fruit in your life. I pray that you're not wayside, thorny and stony soil. Do you understand the kingdom? And of course they said, yes, we understand the kingdom. But here's the clincher. Here's the problem. They really didn't understand the kingdom in full. They had partial knowledge, but not full knowledge. You don't get full knowledge by attending a few services. He says, no, you really don't understand like you think you understand. But there is some understanding. Let me prove my posture. In Matthew 13 verse 10, Jesus' disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? In verses 11 through 16 is his response to them. He says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He says, you are better off than the scribes and Pharisees, because they have no knowledge. But you, because you have a heart to receive the word, you have some knowledge, but not complete knowledge. Now, notice he says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And this does not mean that the disciples had full knowledge. Now, I want you to write these two passages down. Matthew chapter 15. And let me just horn in on that passage with verse 16. Jesus said to his disciples, are you still without understanding? As it pertains to things that enter the body versus the things that exit the body. He says, are you still without understanding? Write this one down. Matthew 16 verse 9. He says, do you not yet understand? This is the same Jesus that just said to his disciples, blessed are your eyes and blessed are your ears. And in chapters 15 and 16, he says to them, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand? Same Jesus, same disciples. This is the picture. They had partial knowledge and understanding. They had partial knowledge and understanding. Now, they understood in part. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." None of us have full knowledge. Can y'all agree with that? We all have partial knowledge. Listen, you don't have to know something completely to share it. Y'all missed that, didn't you? You don't have to know something completely to share it. The disciples knew enough about what Jesus taught of the kingdom to become teachers of the kingdom. See, some of us are holding back because we feel we don't know enough. We don't know as many scriptures or verses as this person or that person. So we don't say much because we think we have to know all of the Bible to say something about the Bible. You know, God can use the little bit you know. He still uses John 3:16 now. I know people have heard it, but I'm here to tell you and to report to you that he still uses John 3:16. It'll still work. Oh yeah, he still uses now Romans 8:28. You know, we know. You get a little grip behind Romans 8:28, it's going to do something. Don't mess around and get bold with, "and we know." Oh, he still uses 1 Peter 5:7 now. "Cast all your cares." You don't have to know all the Bible to share the Bible. You don't have to know something completely to share it. You just have to trust God. Listen, God doesn't need your ability. He needs your availability and attitude. I remember the church of old. They didn't have much memorization, you know, because they couldn't hardly read. But what they would say about the Lord would put chill bumps all over your body. Oh my God, could use them in their ignorance more so that he could use us in our knowledge. Because listen, the more we know, the less dependent we are upon God. But listen, the less they knew, the more dependent they were upon God. Listen, God doesn't need your ability. He doesn't need your scholarship. Your sophistication. You don't have to dot every I and cross every T to be awesome in God. I'm saying something better than y'all saying amen. He said, what you know, you have to give yourself to him to be used by him because you have a responsibility. Listen, the question I pose to you this evening is, what are you doing with your understanding of the kingdom? What are you doing with your understanding, with what you understand? What are you doing with it? Have you ran across anybody this week that you have shared what you understand of the kingdom with? Have you shared that with them? Have you shared with them your conversion experience?
how you got saved and how you entered into the kingdom. Nothing has changed. What are you doing with your understanding of the kingdom? That's a question, isn't it? Have you taken that understanding home and started teaching at home your understanding of the kingdom? What are you doing with your understanding of what you understand about the kingdom? Here it is. Number one, Jesus revealed the responsibility of his followers should have toward kingdom teaching. He said in verse 52, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. He calls his disciples scribes. And a scribe was a man who served an important role in the Jewish culture of Jesus' day. He was skilled in the study and interpretation of the Jewish scripture. He would serve the community by helping people understand the meaning of God's word and by showing them how that word should be applied to the practical and spiritual matters of life. You got people all around you needing understanding. And you going in and out your house with no attempt to give them understanding. You got people that sleep under the same roof as you that need understanding. People you get on the hello with every day that need understanding. And you have yet to open your mouth to give them your understanding of the kingdom of God. And you say you're concerned and you care. You say you love them. But you are completely comfortable and content with them on their way to hell. Because now last week we talked about hell and how real it is out of verse 50. That he connected the kingdom of heaven with his judgment. And he does that to open our eyes, to light a fire, so to speak, under us, so we would be more indulged and engaged in helping other people understand the kingdom. You know why you can't do it? Because you have made it about you. Everything is about you. We so in God's way. Boy, we preference people, aren't we? Everything got to be to our liking. Boy, if a certain thing is not a certain way, we just give all the way up on it. We just quit. We so in God's way. Had one disagreement, you think that person deserved to go to hell. We seek God on. Amen, lights. One mistreatment. God gonna get you. What about all that stuff you've done to God? It wasn't God gonna get you then. We so in the way of God because we don't want to sacrifice self for the sake of someone else understanding the kingdom. But don't you know, to help other people understand the kingdom, you got to put yourself out sometimes. He said there's a responsibility.
that you have to serve the community to help people understand the meaning of God's word by showing them how that word should be applied to the practical and spiritual matters of life. He calls them a householder. And a householder, literally a house master. He was the manager of a household or a family or a large fortune. And a householder was responsible for making sure that everything in the treasure store was well stocked, so that when anything was needed for the provision of each member of the household and for the smooth operation of the house, it was provided. You got to put so much of it in you that you can share it with somebody else. Boy, y'all just missed that. See, we just read a little bit to say we read. You know, fall asleep, you know, we read when we're sleepy. And the Bible ends up being our pillow. And the next morning, you know, we done ruffle a few pages of the Bible because we have fallen asleep in the Word. So we just going through the motion. But we're not really ingesting and intaking the Word to a point where it overflows out of our lives into the lives of other people. When people bump into you, you should be a well of living water. So much word in you that you are a well of living water. That's the responsibility, is that we provide. But now, here it is. There's the responsibility of studying. Not just reading now, but studying the word of God. Here's the picture of studying. It's like a dry sponge placed in water, a container of water. You soak up the word. Now, a wet sponge, a soaked sponge, you don't have to, you know, press it hard to get water out of it. You can barely bump it, and water drips out of it. I know you're saying, where did you get that from? Psalm 1 told us that we ought to spend some time with him to meditate in his word day and night. That should be our delight. To meditate in the word day and night. We have the responsibility of studying. The teacher of God's word must study. You know, I said something a few weeks ago. I can't recall who I was talking to. You know, there's a difference in a Sunday school reader and a Sunday school teacher. You know, just reading lesson don't mean you talk lesson. When you teach the lesson, there ought to be application that comes out of the lesson. There's a difference in a Sunday school reader and a Sunday school teacher. Now, I type this, but I'm teaching this. I didn't just get up here to read it. I'm teaching it. See, if you're going to teach, you must study. Oh, my God. So we should be motivated to study the Bible in order to continue growing in the things we have learned. We need to deepen our knowledge of scriptures to better apply to our lives the truth they contain. Don't study the word to get at you. I'm studying it for application. As a responsibility of studying. Notice what 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. The ultimate aim
of studying the Word of God is to please God in your life. Y'all miss that. The ultimate aim is to please God in all of life. He says, study to show yourself approved. You want God's approval, not man's approval, but you want God's approval. Now, what you study will anger some people. That's why you can't do it and expect man's approval. Because the word is a knife. Nobody wants to be cut on now. Even if you need a major surgery, you're thinking about ways of getting out of this surgery. You know, because you don't want to be cut on. Even if being cut on makes you better, you don't want to be cut on. That's how you are when you come to church. And you in that word, it's just cutting. Oh my, if you were to open up that jacket, you have so many blood stains. Well, you've just been cut. I mean, you've been cut so much, you cut all under your feet. As the old folks where I'm from say, your footsies. You cut all in your palms. You just cut and cut and cut. But it's to make you better. So we study to be approved unto God, to be approved by God. How do we study? Study by attending virtual Sunday school. Attending in person / virtual Tuesday evening Bible study. Regularly attend worship on Sunday morning. Open your Bible day by day. Listen to an audio Bible. And it's just on and on. That you study by intaking. It's a discipline to intake. Listen, I got to get out of here. Notice First Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. You are under control when you have put in the time. Did y'all get that? You are under control and remain under control when you know you got it in there. You know, I used to love the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses that knock at the door. Come on in. Boy, I loved it. Oh, come on in. My wife, I said, don't tell them I'm a pastor. Shh. Come on in. I knew I had it in there. And they would be trying to take me to different places in the Bible and using it all out of context. I said, well, what about the context? Do you believe that there are other people that are not of this fold that he have yet not caused? Yes. But you know, he's talking about the Gentiles at the time because he forbid them from going to the house of the Gentiles, but they were to go to the house of the Jews. Those were the other sheep that were not of the fold. Come on in. You want to come in the office? Come on in. You better have book, chapter, and scripture now. And voice. Come on in. And when you know you got it, you don't lose control and get angry and start cussing folk out. Y'all hear me? That's why you have to sit down and have private time to intake the Word of God, because you have a responsibility to teach the Word of God and to be a defense. I got to finish. Not only is there a responsibility of studying, there's a responsibility of teaching. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. My expectation of you is to take this and share it with someone else. Hopefully, and that person or those persons will take it and share it with some other people. And it just keeps going on and on. That's what we intend for our Wednesday morning Facebook sessions. That you take that word and you just keep sharing it. You just keep sharing. You don't have to come up with it. You just keep sharing it. Matter of fact, on Sundays when you hear the preaching, you don't even have to come up with a sermon. All you got to do is be a good note taker. And take your notes and share it with as many people as you can. Because you are taught to teach. He talks about bringing out of the treasure what is new and what is old. Now, the word treasure here is more literally a treasury. It is the place or the container in which the householder kept his valuables. In Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said that our hearts are treasuries of either good or evil. And in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, the disciples' hearts were good, an extension of the heavenly treasury. Now, in his treasury is some new and some old. Now, the teacher must bring forth new treasure. New treasure. You don't need stale bread. New treasure. You don't need old, worn out cliches. You need new treasure. Well, let me help you. Because new treasure is not an notion of your own that you give forth as divine revelation. In other words, you went to sleep last night and had a dream. And you woke up. And that dream was surreal, and you think that that was God speaking. So you just start talking it and sharing that with everybody. No, if it's not in the Word of God, it's not of God. That's why Revelation said, "Don't add, don't take away." You want to know if prophecies are real? Line them up with the Word. You know, people coming to you, I see. You told the same person, you told the person before I got in line the same thing. Now you can't see all this for everybody. You know, something so vague. I see you receiving blah, 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 and there you go running with that. You know, and anytime you receive something, you know, that's close, you believe that that's to be true. And that prophecy has been fulfilled. Because you have no word in you. So it is not something that just comes, you know, to create a notion and you set that before the people as divine revelations now. Now the treasury to which he is to go for his material is the sacred scriptures. I used to have, you know, meetings, and I had some in the meetings would say, well, we don't want to talk about scripture now. I said, well, we don't want to talk. We ain't talking about that now. What the Bible told you, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. And that's exactly what you're doing if you don't want the word. You are completely leaning on your own understanding. He says, the treasury is the scripture, the sacred scripture. Now watch this. out of the sacred scripture comes Christ. He is the new. See, at the time Jesus was sharing this with his disciples, Christianity was not an established Christian order. It was coming on the scene, and it was birthed out of Judaism, which is the practice of the Old Testament law. That's why the scribes and the Pharisees had such a problem with him, because he was telling them that they no longer had to adhere to the ceremonial aspects of the law. He was new. He said to them, this is the new covenant. You no longer have to sacrifice bulls and goats and rams and pigeons and turtle doves. He says, I am a once and for all offering made for you to totally remove your sins. That was new. It was new then and it's new now. The same words of Christ apply now. That if a person will give their life to him, he will not only do a new thing, he'll make them new. That's why Paul said in to the church of Corinth, if any man be in Christ, he didn't say you're old and worn out. He says, no, you are a new creature. You are a new creation. So when we sit down with the word and sit down in the word, we are to bring out the new, which is Christ Jesus. The most important, significant thing that we can talk about from the word of God. Christ. But now let me end with the old. You can't neglect the old. W.F. Addini said, an idea does not cease to be valuable because it is old. Truth is eternal. Facts remain. The great events of the Bible, or Bible history, are always speaking to us. They have living lessons for our own day. The new truth is only inspiring when it springs out of the old. Which it does not obscure, which rather it explains and exalts. The Old Testament is treasure, just as the New is. The prophets of old pointed to Jesus Christ, who would come and accomplish all that they proclaimed he would accomplish. The priests offered the blood of animals, never brought true and final atonement. But their sacrificing of animals pointed to the atoning work of Christ, the once and for all Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the Old Testament, there were prophets, priests, and kings who served but could never save people. And all those old offices are made new in Jesus Christ, who served to save all. This is the takeaway. As Christian teachers, we should have a respect for the prophet of our heroes. In other words, you don't just study for yourself. You ought to study with the intentions of sharing the word. And you ought to know that it is profitable, not only for you, but it is profitable for everyone you share it with everyone to whom you share it with. We should be diligent in our study, not only to be wise ourselves, but to dispense the wisdom of God to others. Are people wiser because they have been hanging around you? Have your life challenged their lives to the point where they see it another way now, in a different way? Because your wisdom is starting to spill over on them. He says, we give it away. We study to give it away, not study to keep it secret. but we study to give it away. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for opening hearts and giving instructions to us in our life and living. Thank you for, Lord, wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And Father, being able to see your awesomeness in spite of our limitations. We only know in part. We see through a glass, dimly or darkly. But Father, as we study and as you feed us, we know a little more, better day by day. And we have a little more knowledge and wisdom to apply to our life and living. Lord, I pray now that your people be activated. They have been taught to teach. Pray that as they go to their places of stay, places of work, places of company, places of eatery, Lord, that they will share your word. Give them courage to open their mouths and speak your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.